Thank you for listening to Cat's Tea and Witchcraft. My name is Fauna, and I am your host. This podcast is for those who are Wiccan, witches, and everything in between. Don't forget to follow the podcast's Instagram page at Cat's Tea and Witchcraft, and you can send an email at catsteaandwitchcraftpodcast@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening to the podcast. Enjoy the episode. Hello, witchy peeps. Welcome back to the podcast. This is episode 135, and today is another interview episode, or more of a return guest episode. They've been on a couple times, and I am just gonna let us hop into that content. Okay, everybody, we have a return guest today. He is a witch, he has his own podcast, and he's been on two other episodes that we have had in the past couple years. What's really funny, I was looking at the dates of when those were, and the first one was about New Age and spiritual bypassing, which was March of 2022, and then art and creativity and magic in March of 2023, and we're just barely into April, so we almost hit a year in between each episode, which I did not realize. So how about you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. I am Marshall, the Witch of Southern Light. I do have a podcast. Thank you for bringing that up. Southern Bramble, a podcast of crooked ways with Austin. I am an author. I have written the book Cunning Words, a grimoire of tales and magic. And I just announced my second book, which will be out in October 1st, The Red Mother, continuation of the Cunning Words collection.
I saw that. That's so exciting.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's so funny. That is, I'm like a yearly regular now. It's just like this, like you're my timeshare and I'm just coming to book my week with you.
And I didn't realize how like incremental it was. And it's just kind of funny how things work. Maybe it's just the time of year and the energies.
Spring brings me out, you know?
Spring has sprung. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a couple weeks ago, I reached out to Marshall and I saw a reel that gave me an idea of a topic and everything that he was working on. And he did a reel that just kind of brought up the idea of threefold a little bit. And that is something that the threefold law, or whatever people call it, the Wiccan law of three, people throw that around a lot if you believe in it or not. There's definitely a debate, and it's actually a topic that many content creators or like social media groups will like purposely avoid or not allow people to talk about because it causes so much argument. And there's a couple other things that can kind of tie to, and what we were thinking and hoping to get today is just talking about some of those things between threefold and karma and any other things as the conversation goes, and how just kind of do the research and really think about what you actually believe, and other people are also going to have different beliefs as you, and how to maybe handle these conversations and topics, because it can cause some really strange arguments within the greater online witchy or spiritual community. So what was it, 2 or 3 weeks ago that you made that, at least the particular reel that I was referencing once I reached out to you? It was on threefold.
Yes. And it's actually when I made, like, I want to say, when was this? This is 2021. So yeah. I've been doing a lot of recycling lately because, you know, with the TikTok going, who knows what's going to happen with that.
Exactly.
But I made this reel a while ago, and it goes over like the concept of the threefold law, and which is using a silly trend from back in the day, but I still really love it, and I think it's really applicable. You know, so like I grew up in Texas. I mean, growing up in Texas has something to do with this, but I grew up, and when I discovered witchcraft at a young age, it was in the 90s. Everything was very centered around Wicca. Witchcraft and Wicca was synonymous. A lot of the books were pulling information from each other. The community was small, and the information was rather limited than what we have now. And there was this concept that was being really, really pushed at this time called the threefold law. You know, my first book was The Complete Book of Witchcraft by Raymond Buckland. And, you know, you also see this rule of three, or this concept where whatever you put out magically into the universe returns to you times three. Use magic for good. You get blessings returned times three. Use magic for harm. Harm returns to you times three. I saw this with Silver Raven Wolf, with Scott Cunningham, with pretty much all of these, the majority of these authors. This rule was truly inescapable, and it was taught like it was an absolute universal law. As an adult, I've had the opportunity to be more knowledgeable on newer and different resources. I found this to be very, actually to be very localized into one place that then got pushed onto the entire community. And I kind of want to talk about where some of this comes from, if that's cool with you.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's really important for people to, a lot of people, like you said, like are introduced to Buckland, Cunningham, Silver Raven Wolf, and they take them as gospel. Yeah. A little too deeply. Maybe it's what they're used to, or it's just the limited resources. Yeah. And even now, it's people can see it. But we have so many more resources now, and giving them the opportunity to hear about these other resources is definitely important. So yeah, share as much as you want.
Well, sure. It's meant to be understood, first off, let's get it right off of the bat. The threefold law in itself is a modern Wiccan concept. In fact, it's not even an original Wiccan concept. Speaking with a lot of Gardnerians, they can tell you some more of the actual original concepts. It's really, really fascinating. The first rendition of the Wiccan Reed came out, was recorded by Dorian Valiente in 1964, and it stated, eight words the Wiccan Reed fulfill, and harm none, do what you will. So, interestingly enough, this line was actually inspired by Crowley, who Dorian did not actually like very well. Later versions were published with slight changes in the 70s, which included, mind the threefold law ye should, three times bad, three times good. Another version stated, beware the rule of three times three, for what you do comes back to thee. There are a lot of different like sayings that became really, really pervasive during this time, and they grew in part of the literature. You can see the etymology of its severity change with each subtle change, right?
Yeah, it's like the game of telephone as it evolves in people's perspectives.
Absolutely. What's really fascinating is when you actually get to the brass tacks of this, the origin of this ever-evolving line, if you will, is that it was actually taken from Gerald Gardner's panned, and I say panned because it was still to this day not thought of as not very good, fiction novel, High Magic's Aid. And it actually had nothing to do with magic. It was just a general what goes around comes around statement of human ethics written into the story.
Yeah, I have it in. It's some of his writings are very difficult to get through. And that's, I've heard the same thing, and I've even seen like Gardnerian blogs, and they could only share so much as
of course
someone who's not a Gardnerian. So like sometimes a few people just get so fed up, and I've seen the threefold law is not something we use. Maybe it could depend coven to coven, but like it's not what people think it is. And it's just kind of snowball, like you said.
Well, the raid in itself, I don't know, actually, I have no idea if it's raid or reeds. I'm just going to say reed because it looks like reed.
But, yeah, I say reed.
The whole point of the reed itself is if you look at the definition, it's a guideline.
Yes.
It's not a, these are hard rules. It is not a Ten Commandment. It is not a follow these rules or else. It's mostly just a suggestion of how to be, you know, a regular altogether good old witch or pagan, if you will. They're not these hard and fast rules where we're supposed to be taking everything literally. Remember, a lot of us are coming out of Bible thumping south. I know I am. And there's a lot of people who take religious scripture so literal. And it wasn't meant to be that way.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And this just made me think of it. And I think I've talked about it in the past on episodes.
Do it
where,
again.
Like you said, it's a guideline. It reminds me of the quote from Pirates of the Caribbean where it says the code is more like a guideline when they're talking about the things like that. So it's, I can just hear like the piratey voices and everything. It's a guideline. And the more people get experiences, the more, hopefully, you get exposed to things can be different than what you were originally taught. Because sometimes having those guides in the beginning are super important because it gives you a little bit of structure.
Yeah.
But as you get deeper into things, you have your own opinions. When you find out what does and doesn't work and what did or didn't happen according to what people say will happen, you start to question some of the things that you've learned. That is perfectly okay, and it's actually very important.
Oh yeah. Well, what's really interesting is we start to see, you know, this popping up as a guideline in the 70s, right? Mm-hmm. In the Wiccan Rite. But then in the 80s, with the Satanic Panic, we see a really large push to make witchcraft more palatable for the masses, because mm-hmm. here we are. The Satanic Panic actually mostly started in the UK and made its way over to America. And so,
oh, I didn't realize it started over there first.
Yeah, I think, don't quote me on that, but I remember listening about the history of it, and I want to say it started with the case up there that made its way over here. If I am wrong on that, no one write in to our special, our amazing hosts, because it's my fault for getting that wrong.
Yeah, right.
But it was across the way, all the way into Australia as well. I mean, like, this was not a localized U.S. experience. This was a somewhat world-felt experience, the Satanic Panic. And if this is the first time you're hearing of the Satanic Panic, it's really important to understand it was a time period that the conservative people in society had enough of an authority and momentum to actually get enough a belief behind an idea that there were actually pockets of Satan worshipers who were abducting children, who were abusing children, who were sacrificing children. We still see a lot of these conspiracies today going on.
Oh, yeah. Between music and games and just anything that you can think of. Like, oh, it's a part of the part of the worshipers. And
there were like concepts that Rainbow Bright was a satanic toy, that certain cereals were actually coded for from being made by Satanists, and rock music was satanic music. I mean, if it was something that people were enjoying, they were attacking it. It was a very, very big push. You can even see old, I think if you look up on TikTok or YouTube, Satanic Panic, you can see old news specials talking about these styles of things. And so you have this idea of, especially as Wicca is moving itself across the world from the UK, you know, you have a horned god and a goddess, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, people are being arrested. People are being put in jail. There was a therapist who was using...
losing their children.
People are losing their children. There was a therapist who started this process of using sodium pentothal in memory recovery therapy. And of course, it puts you in a highly suggestible place. There were thousands of coerced confessions from kids about adults abusing them that they ended up years later retracting and talking about the pressure they were put under to do this.
It was like the witch trials all over again.
It truly, truly was. There were thousands of people who were imprisoned at this time. If you Google the history of the Satanic Panic, you and you've never heard it before, it will shock you that this happened only like 40 years ago. It's pretty amazing. And so for Wicca to survive, there had to be a very big push to make it palatable. We don't do evil. We don't do bad. Look, our rules even say if we do bad, bad happens to us times three.
Yep.
This, however much we don't like to talk about it now, however much we want to rail against the threefold law now, it probably saved a lot of us.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind when thinking about and understanding the history of where we are now and how we got here.
It's crazy to think how and people forget. And it's either willingly forget, or just they're so new they don't realize, or just what they've previously been exposed to. And it's important to understand that you can still see some of these things today. We see periodic posts or articles about people who got let go from their jobs in more conservative areas because they found out, or they just saw them wear a necklace that they associated with something.
Oh, yeah.
Or the fact that they just don't agree with them, and it comes to, oh, you're a Satan worshiper, you're a devil worshiper, you're a Satanist, you sacrifice children, you sacrifice animals, mm-hmm. and all these things that are just so outrageous. But then what comes down to is people were trying to retcon some of that negativity, mm-hmm. but it got so deep into trying to course correct that over the years people forgot that where it actually came from, mm-hmm. and comes down to the almost obsession that some people have with the idea of the rule of three or the threefold law.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to call something a law, especially when there's no literal proof. And a lot of what we experience is UPG, what you've dealt with and what I've dealt with and all our personal things. Like, I still identify as Wiccan. But at the same time, I question this threefold law, rule of three. And I think it's very important, because some of the things that some people have told me or just what I've read that I haven't experienced those results. Maybe if it is real, it's a delayed result. But also at the same time, I try to be very conscious of the choices I make.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's more important in when it comes down to the idea of, oh, what comes to you three times, good or bad, blah, 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 that it's very similar to the idea of the golden rule.
Sure.
Or maybe deeper into the pole of what some people perceive as karma. Some people will say the threefold law is karma for Wiccans. But the more people dive into karma, it's not exactly what they think it is, because pop culture, witch related or not, spiritual or not, has been watered down to where the original history and roots come from it as well. So whatever your views on morality is, it's important not to just throw around words that you may not realize you don't understand what they actually mean.
Oh yeah. And you know, I love that you brought up karma. Karma is a really good one to talk about. I swear everything that makes its way westward gets bastardized.
Yeah.
So I'll just say this, like, first right off of the bat, I do not believe in karma. I do not give karma any credence. This is just my personal belief system. Mm-hmm. I don't expect anyone else to follow it because I say so. I just would like to explain why with a little history. And it's interesting because karma is one of those things that, like, yes, witches talk about. But you know what? It's made its way deeply into the mundane world. Like, even out of people who do not practice spirituality in any way, shape, or form will literally say and talk about karma.
Karma's a bitch.
Kind of thing. Like, it's made its way into literal colloquialisms. But it's really interesting when you get into the history of this word. The word originated from ancient Vedic texts around 1000 to 700 BCE. Mm-hmm. At that time, the word actually wasn't very special or meaningful. It was actually referencing just a specific ritual at the time. It was then later developed in 400 BCE. That's like a long time ago.
Yeah.
In Hindu texts, and then spread across India and Asia, as well as being adopted into Buddhism. Mm-hmm. What's really fascinating is the word itself loosely translates to like act, action, or deed. Karma is the sum of our actions. It's the force generated by a person's actions held in Hinduism or Buddhism to perpetuate transmigration. And what that means, it's a list of all your acts. And this is actually funny where we see some of that bastardization comes in, because when it comes to actual understanding how this works, it's the sum of your actions that are then weighted and judged for future lifetimes. Not tomorrow, not later in the day, not next week, not next year. It's not what mm-hmm. goes around comes around. It's supposed to be a weight of your soul and the sum of your actions.
Yeah.
It's a very specific spiritual belief system that
consequences of our actions.
Yeah. We've stripped it from its culture. We've stripped it from its location. We've stripped it from the people who integrated it into their spirituality and turned it into a karma's a bitch, you know? That's why I don't really like the way in which we in the West really consider karma.
Agreed.
Yeah. And actually, the thing that, if we're going to be really honest, the thing we should be talking about is dharma, which is the results of what the actual consequences that you get. It's the can we swear on this or no?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Okay. Go for it.
It's the find out of the fuck around, you know?
Yeah.
That's the dharma. But that's the word we completely forgot, right?
Yeah. And honestly, like, I don't hear people use that term, and it just shows the limited understanding of certain concepts. Like you said, it's been bastardized, and some of it's not knowingly done. It's just what people have been taught. It's what they've mm-hmm. been heard. Like, oh, karma's a bitch or whatever. What goes around comes around. And then you get into, oh, threefold. Okay, well, that seems very similar. It's mm-hmm. the same thing. No. Or just the golden rule for those who may have used that term. We got taught the golden rule in elementary school. So, okay, treat other people the way you want to be treated. For me, when I think of it and I've explained it or I try to talk about it and just be like, hey, just kind of chill out a little bit on the way you're using it. Not that right or wrong, whatever. I don't want to tell people you're wrong. Mm-hmm. But sometimes people are, but they don't always want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it comes down to if you feel a certain way about consequences or fear of an afterlife issue or what may be coming around the corner. If you do believe if you do something bad, that something bad's going to happen to you, maybe make a different choice. If you are so concerned about the consequences of your actions, good or bad, literally you could think you're making a good choice in an unexpected result that's a little more chaotic than you realize happens. Like, that's just life.
Yeah.
You don't always have full control over everything. And I think that's where some of the fear when people talk about these topics or the lack of understanding, that they either want those consequences to others to be immediate because they wanted to make themselves feel better because they're like, oh, justice has been served. Mm-hmm. Or they're afraid that if they do something wrong, they're going to have something happen to them, and they only want good things. Of course, you don't want shitty things to happen to you, but it's just life that, yeah, stuff's gonna happen. You really don't have full control because there's so many other things going on in the universe. Other people have protections, whatever it is, magical or not. Like, if you step outside and you forget your wallet and you try to buy something, you're not gonna get that thing. Or if you choose to roll a stop sign, there is a high chance that you're either going to hit someone or someone's going to hit you, or you're going to get pulled over and get a ticket. But you made that choice to do that. So now,
these are just consequences of your actions.
Exactly. And honestly, sometimes, like, if you're worried about it, just try to make the best choices that you can and understand that you're not always going to have control. And mm-hmm. I think that's a big issue that a lot of people have out of fear of mm-hmm. whatever that fear came from. If it's your parents who are always like, fear of getting in trouble, or in school, the fear of making bad choices or giving the wrong answer, or religious trauma and the fear of people still fearing, well, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm actually going to go to hell? Or all these things. It's like, you have to make a choice one way or another, and you're not going to know what's going to happen until it happens.
Well, you know,
you're not going to know.
No, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think, I mean, people will say things about me around me about karma all the time, or they'll say, like, you know, like, oh, well, karma's a bitch. I will literally flat out say, oh, I don't believe in karma.
Yeah.
Or when I talk about cursing or hexing, they're just like, oh, I just let karma, I don't curse. I just let karma get it. And I'll be like, oh, I don't believe in karma.
Yeah.
So I don't have an issue with it. And, you know, I think, so I've always said, okay, so I've seen some of these debates before, and there's an answer that always stands out with me. And usually it's like between an atheist and some form, usually a Christian or especially an evangelical.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they'll say something like, we get our morale, you know, how can you be a good person and an atheist if you don't have God to guide you?
Yeah.
And then the atheist will say, like, how can you call yourself a good person if you need a book to teach you what's the difference between right and wrong? And I really, really fall into that second camp where I'm like, I choose my ethics. I choose my morality. My morality is based off of what I think and believe is right and wrong. Mm-hmm. And I don't need a book to tell me what is right and wrong, because I think I can suss that out myself.
Yeah.
The thing is I think karma and the threefold law are just another version of a book or a set of dogmas put in place and believed to be universal to keep you in line. And I don't think I need that at all.
Yeah. Yeah. And for larger groups, or depending on the culture and everything, the ethics and morality of different cultures is very different. Like, in some places, even probably still, they'll go for an eye for an eye, and it's completely moral for them. Or the use of sacrificing or cursing someone. And for me, I'm in the camp of, you know what, if I'm going to do something baneful, maybe I might not think of specifics, because I know if something truly does happen, I want to separate my emotional feelings of it. Because, you know what, I might still feel bad and a little good at the same time, but I make that choice to be like, you know what, universe, do what you want to do. I just want to know that, hey, this is the way I feel. But then other people who are like, I'm just going to straight up hex, curse, whatever, this person, I'm like, okay, do what you need to do. Just everyone needs to be aware of consequences of actions, and maybe nothing might happen. So why worry unless there's something you're going to do that might literally land you in jail, which I never recommend. But, like, when it comes to a spell, you know what? You make that choice.
Yeah.
Because it may be justified, but who am I to say what is and isn't justified for a situation?
Well, you know, I heard this thing a while back that really stood out to me, and it was these concepts of vertical and horizontal morality. Have you heard of that?
I've heard it, but I haven't really dove into it.
The person who I was learning this from, she's an ex-evangelical, and she talks about the process of deconstructing and leaving the church and what it was like growing up with evangelical morality. And she says that evangelical, and let's just go ahead and make this really, really generalized, deity, yeah. We'll just say deity. This concept of morality is based off of the relationship between human and deity. So that's vertical, right? We're on the ground, they're up in the mm-hmm. sky or something. And then there's horizontal morality. And that's the concept where morality is based off of me in relationship to all the other people around me, right? We're all down here as peons. Mm-hmm. And if there are rules within the religion with deity where you have to follow these rules or you hurt your relationship with deity, like deity says, my belief says that being gay is wrong and I have to disown my son because he just came out because I have to keep my relationship with deity upheld. I can't hurt deity. Mm-hmm. But in the process, you're hurting your son. You're hurting yeah. someone horizontally. So people make a lot of decisions that may actually hurt a lot of people down here, all the peons around us, hurting mm-hmm. a lot of them because they would prefer to preserve their relationship vertically with deity. The other way around is where I base my morals on horizontal morally. How am I do not give credence to any rule from deity above or below. I give credence mm-hmm. to how I'm forming relationships with the people in my life around me. Am I hurting mm-hmm. them? Am I causing them pain? Am I doing things to make sure that I am not hurting them, to make sure I am, being empathetic towards their needs, that we're all being able to live happy lives and I'm not hindering that in any way. But when yeah. I make the choice to do baneful magic, curses or whatnot, it's usually because I have seen a level of horizontal morality that is offensive. I've seen someone cause someone pain. They've hurt me. They've hurt someone I loved. And I make the choice to break that boundary and the horizontal morality and choose to use my magic to hurt them back. That's mm-hmm. a choice, as you described yeah. before. But it's one that has nothing to do with my relationship to deity, and it's more so about my relationship with the people in my life, and that's how I yeah. build my sense of morals.
Yeah. And what you're describing versus the relationship and keeping that relationship with a deity versus still harming a family member, a friend, mm-hmm. that it really does come down to a lot of that fear
yeah.
and the control.
Control.
And I guess in certain cases, if you have a large population or a group of people that you're trying to move a certain way, or maybe you're originally trying to make society better. Maybe it is very chaotic. You're trying to just get people to make good choices, whatever the reasons were. Hey, we need to do this to get people to behave because they're not behaving and it's chaotic and people are literally dying. Or it is just a sense of control, whatever that root came from to the different cultures that have those kind of things. But for those who are more afraid of angering their deity, whichever it is, it just shows that there's a fear of, well, if I make them mad, I'm more afraid of what's going to happen to me than those who I love.
Yeah.
It shows the value of yourself over those who you are supposed to be taking care of, those who are you supposed to respect, those who are you supposed to honor. How are you supposed to honor your wife and children, your mother, your father, but if they say or do something that apparently disagrees with you or a deity, that's also breaking a covenant or a rule that another deity did set. Oh, you can't do anything because I say so, but also I'm not sure if I'm just ranting, but it's like, I feel like it's contradicting some other things along the lines when you're supposed to respect your mother, respect your father, respect your children, respect your wife, your husband. But the thing you're more focused on is, are you honestly more focused on yourself?
Yeah.
And what is the morality in that? Some people are like, it's perfectly okay to be selfish. But then in other ways, people are like, oh, it's not okay to be selfish.
And that's based on, then it's obviously an independent judgment call, yeah, but exactly. A lot of times in my situation, I think, is my act of being selfish hurting people, or mm-hmm. is my act of being selfish right now more about just taking the time to, indulge myself?
Yeah.
There are many times that we can
and
be selfish.
And that's okay when it's perfectly okay.
Yeah. There are many times that we're being selfish and it's not hurting anyone. We're just yeah. like giving ourselves some time. And I think we all need that. And in yeah. fact, I don't even 100%. Know if I would call that, I think
selfish.
We,
that's not even selfish. That's just self-care.
Yeah. And maybe selfish isn't always negative. I think sometimes we have words that we have this idea that they're usually used negative. So we
yeah.
have a negative connotation with them.
Like someone will call you selfish because you didn't do something they want, but what they were asking was actually harmful. Like
yeah.
a narcissist. Oh, well, you're selfish. You didn't do this, blah, blah, blah. Well, no, I'm actually taking care of myself, and what you said is actually wrong because it didn't help you, but it wouldn't help me. So it's okay to be selfish in those situations. Perfectly okay.
Yeah.
And like you said, might not even be the right word.
Exactly.
Yeah. And ultimately, the whole point of the conversation in general is whatever your belief is, if it's watered down or if it's part of your culture, not a part of your culture, something you've adopted over time, or just something you hear in a non-spiritual sense. People talk about karma all the time who are probably Christian or non-spiritual in general. And it's just like, okay, well, do you know the roots of that? And I think that comes down to, do you know yourself? Do you know where it came from? And how does it actually affect you and those around you? And the point and importance of knowing your morality, your culture's expectations, and what actually matters to you. And nowadays, we actually have that opportunity to make more independent choices than what society previously would have let different groups of people. Women are making more of their own choices. Different groups are allowed to marry and love who they want to love. And it's just, you can see that changes, but things are also just getting misconstrued continuously depending on what the opposite side example, the satanic panic, mm-hmm. and how people just had to do whatever they could to just get a sense of freedom and self-care and personal choice.
Yeah. And when it comes down to it, I think the thing that just bothers, like, listen, if your belief system includes karma, includes what goes around, comes around, includes a threefold law, I'm here to tell you, good for you. I love it.
Yes.
Cherish it, embrace it, make it part of your life, your practice, your spirituality, your beliefs. But it's not mine. And make sure when you are walking around and making it part of your life, your spirituality, your practice, that you recognize it is not a universal law. You may believe it is for you, but if it truly were a universal law, we would all recognize it, and we all don't. So it's not something that's been around forever. It's not something that has been proven by science, like most witchcraft hasn't. But I just don't like the way that people have just decided or have this hard, hard belief that karma is this universal thing, that the threefold law is this universal thing. And if you want to make that part of your own value system, that's great. But don't go into someone else's DMs and say, you shouldn't be sharing this spell online. What about the threefold law? Or, you shouldn't be talking about baneful magic. I was kicked out of a Discord once for mentioning literally the word baneful magic.
Wow.
I know. It was very, mind you, I barely even do Discord anymore. It was one of those things where I was just like, oh, wow, this is like a really hard, stance that there are a lot of people that still have. And that's okay. But just understand, we have more information than we did 5 years ago. We have more information than we had 10 years ago. We have more information and access to information than we had, you know, 2 decades ago. So we need to keep up with that information as it comes in. That means understanding its history. That means understanding the way theosophy really bastardized a lot of Eastern traditions and philosophies as they brought it over here into the West. We need to understand where a lot of these things come from. We've talked about the way many, many folk practices get stripped of their cultures and how that's considered cultural appropriation, yet the most ultimate one that we've all specifically done with today is karma. It's completely stripped of its cultural parameters, of its people, of its history. So I'm not here to tell anyone just to drop it because I say so on this podcast. I just want to encourage more people to look into the history of their beliefs, to look into the meaning behind them, what led to where it is now. And after all of that, does it still hit you the same way? Does it still mean the same thing? If so, that's totally fine. I make up new things every day.
And I think it kind of goes into the idea of the fear or religious trauma and stuff. And I might have already said it earlier, but what just pops into my head, hopefully for the first time and not repeating, is that those who are separating themselves from Christianity or whatever their previous faith was, but they're not realizing that they're still holding on to some of those old beliefs that they say they don't believe in, but they're just rebranding it.
Yeah.
They're just rebranding it. Oh, karma. Oh, threefold. Oh, you can't do bad things, otherwise bad things are going to happen. Or, oh, you're going to go to hell. It's just the opposite of saying you're going to go to hell. at this point. It's like, oh, you can't do bad things, you're going to go to hell. Or, oh, I don't agree with this, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, take a step back. Is it just the same thing in old packaging, but it makes you feel a little better because it has a different color to it? Or, like, do you actually understand the things you say you believe in? In Christianity, people misunderstand or every different church you go into, they say different things about the same lines of scripture. And it's just like, do we really understand this? Like, we may not, because it was written thousands of years ago and the connotation of everything is completely different. But still, like, slow down.
And, you know, hell gives a lot of us the comfort of believing that bad people will go to a bad place, that they'll get their comeuppance, right?
A sense of justice.
Yeah. So even if people are leaving Christianity, if they're leaving some of these religions that might have that concept, they still want to hold on to that sense of justice. People still need to believe that bad things happen to bad people, that they'll get what they deserve. And if you take that away, it can kind of make things feel a little bit meaningless. And people do not like meaningless stuff. They needed to have meaning, and that's fine. But just recognize that. Do you feel this way because you think that things would be less meaningful if there weren't punishments and consequences and laws of balancing out? That's a little bit big for me, for me to think about in my puny little human brain.
Goes down to fear too, and feeling better about yourself. And I see people also, and it might tie in together. It's like, what is my purpose? They want to feel like they have purpose. They want to make sure the actions they have purpose, they do things and stuff. And it's, why do you feel that way? Why do you need to have a set line, a set definition? Some religions say, oh, your path is already planned. You have a purpose, you just need to find it. You're just missing the signs, or you're not listening. And it's just, no one wants to feel little. No one wants to feel small. No one wants to feel like they're a little ant in a giant universe. They want to have a sense of purpose and whatever your beliefs are, if it makes you feel better, cool. No one wants to feel bad. No one wants to feel like they aren't important to themselves or society or to their own family or whatever it is. Because, yeah, that doesn't feel very good.
Yeah.
But whatever brings you peace, cool. But don't think that what you say, what brings you peace, will also bring other people peace as well.
Right.
Because it doesn't.
Like veganism.
Yeah. Oh, that's a whole different topic, because I'm not vegan.
No, me neither.
That's a whole funny thing.
And I have a lot of friends who are, and then you have...
Yeah, same.
And so it's like one of those things where, you know, some people, that is the thing that makes them feel good, feel whole. Mm-hmm. It's how they want to build their dietary systems, one of the build part of their relationship with the earth around them. That won't be everyone's fulfillment. Exercise, taekwondo, karate, art, singing, everyone will have the thing that makes them feel whole. So don't think that because it's not one that it's nothing.
Yeah, just because someone does something different from you doesn't mean they're a bad person, doesn't mean they're an evil person. Just because you do or don't eat meat doesn't make you better than one person or another. Because I have a personal opinion that if you push veganism on someone, you're probably not as good of a person that you think you are. But then other people would disagree with that. That's just my opinion. I don't care if you're vegan. I think it's great. Maybe you have to because you got bitten by a tick and you can't eat meat. Like, there are people who go through that and don't have the choice. And they won't push it because that's what's good for them and what's healthy for them. For me, I know if I don't have a certain type of protein and high protein, or if I don't do a certain type of ritual in my practice or meditation or going to the gym or having alone time, just having me time, what is important to me isn't going to be important to my best friend or my mother, or my father, my sister, my niece, you. And it's just important to keep in mind that not everyone is on the same path as you, and it's okay. Don't push that hate because you don't want someone to do the same thing as you. And honestly, sometimes the idea of just treat people well isn't as hard when it's just as simple as just mind your own business too.
I know, right? It's like sometimes it's like a pleasant
balance. Minding your own business is great. And
I'm a fan.
Just mind your business. Yeah, because some people put too much energy into what other people are doing, what other people believe, that literally has nothing to do with you. Literally nothing. Why are you putting so much energy into other people's beliefs? If other people want to do baneful magic, they don't believe in karma, don't believe in threefold, hex, curse, whatever. How is that affecting you? Especially people on the internet. Just because someone mentions, hey, I want to do a hex on someone who literally physically, mentally, and emotionally harms me. You know what? I would say go for it. But then other people are like, oh, karma, meh, 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 or threefold. Yeah, you don't have to respond. This literally has no skin off your back.
Oh, I think one of my greatest lessons over the last few years is, Marshall, you do not have to respond with your opinion on this.
Yeah. All like, the time, I'll want to say things like, on posts or comments, and I'm like,
you have a different You don't have to comment it. Like, you can literally keep going.
Just scroll.
You will continue to live. You will continue
Block
to eat.
Them, move on. Literally has nothing to do with you. Like, why are you going to make something that someone else is doing ruin your entire day? Some people will literally let things ruin their day or longer.
Well, I think there are just a lot of, like, well, actually guys that that are out there who want to be the correct ones in all things. So
and it makes them feel good, but at the same time, like,
I just am like, you know what? I hate when I see that. I won't be that. I won't do it.
Yeah, not at all. A lot I've been finding myself is seeing those sort of conversations online. I'll scroll on my personal accounts, on my podcast accounts and everything. And I'm just like, I don't like your comment. And I will just block people. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I don't ever want to see that conversation again. And I don't like their energy. And I'm just going to block because, one, it's easier. And two, I don't have to deal with it in the future. And three, just because I can. I just can. And I feel like more people should do that.
Yeah.
If you don't want to hear that person's opinion, you don't have to see it. You don't have to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Just move along about your day and you'll probably be a lot more happier of a person. And that's also the downside of some of the social media. We see too much on a daily basis and get too much exposure to other people's opinions. And it's just not healthy.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, just the whole thing. We can go in circles about this and just little things and details. And in general, for those who are listening to us rant about this, it's just figure out what you believe, do more research, and mind your own business, or just move along and just accept what is and what isn't and isn't for you. But yeah, so before we wrap up, what have you been up to recently besides your book? Like, what sort of little things have you been working on?
I've been working a lot on my book. I mean, I've been doing a lot of illustrations lately. You know, I have a full-time job on top of everything.
Yep.
I have been doing a lot of illustrations, doing a lot of writing, working on a few ritual things that are for the book, but also part of my own practice.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few ideas for future books as well that'll be part of a collection of volumes, so that's probably my next big venture to tackle. I found writing to be such a cathartic thing, and it feels like I'm creating something that didn't exist before, but that should have or should exist. Like, it already exists, but I'm just putting it on paper for the first time. There's so many things swirling in my head and in my psyche and that I'm touching or coming across. Making it tangible. It's very, very interesting. The longer I have been practicing spiritual self, the more I've been trying to be aware of the spirits and connections around me. I've been seeing more like movements at the corners of my eyes. I'll turn and look and it'll be gone. Like there's this sense of being closer to the in-between than I think I was before. That makes things flow.
Yeah.
I don't want to say easier, but makes things flow in a more clear way. And
connected in different ways.
Yes. I have some new age trauma, so I hate using the word channeled. And I won't use it here. But there's almost like this level of like, especially when I write some of these stories, it feels very much like these aren't my stories. They're the spirit's stories that they're transcribing to me.
You're listening.
I'm making it tangible. I'm giving the opportunity to express it into the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool.
That's awesome. That's so beautiful.
And thank you.
Between the illustrations that you do and how you're giving it a story as well, I think is just beautiful. And
there's magic in narrative.
It is. And the creating of it, the creation of all the things that you've been doing from your first book moving into this one, because we've had previous conversations about how you were doing your illustrations and getting the first book ready. And it's, I feel like more people should do that, even if it's not like publishing a book, like on your own, like how it's so, I find it very valuable. And sometimes writing is difficult for people because sometimes just getting that flow can be hard.
It can be.
And the time that you have. But even if it's just like bullets, lines, recording your voice into more of an audible or having it like voice to text, there's so much importance in documenting things. No matter how you document it, it and then you can just refer back to it, even if it's just a little bit at a time. And that is where I feel a lot of growth for some people in the long run.
Yeah.
You might not see it now, but maybe you don't understand a dream. Maybe you don't understand a vision that you had or a message that came through. But over time, as you learn more, as you physically, mentally, emotionally grow, things develop, and it's not a quick process. For how long some people practice and all of a sudden something just hits them and they're like, it took 30 years to get to this point, or it took 5 years to get to this point from the last whatever event occurred. And it's important to remember that what we do as spiritual creatures, as magical creatures, that it's not a race.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a race.
No, this is a lifelong journey.
We're so used to, and it could just be our exposure to everything so quickly, the internet, life, having instant gratification can be a little difficult for the generations now. It's like we're so used to instant gratification. And this is not one of those things.
Yeah.
Your spells aren't always going to be instant. The results aren't going to be instant. Feeling better and healing is not going to be instant, even if you do a cord cutting. Or you do a meditation, or you go to therapy. You don't just go to therapy once and you're fixed.
Right?
You go over time, and you keep going even when you feel healed. Like, it's not something that's just one and done. It's not like you just take 2 weeks of an antibiotic or a medication. I'm like, oh, I'm fixed. That's not how that works. It's so much more complicated, but it's a beautiful journey. And if you allow yourself to go on that journey and to notice all the small details and the growth and the backwards movements, because sometimes going backwards and be like, you know what? That's not working for me. Or, oh, I hit a wall. Let me take a step back, simplify things, and then I might be able to push forward.
Yeah.
And some people just get so stuck at those walls and it just makes them sad and they just... It's just a journey, and you need to just allow yourself to go through that journey. And it's like the journey of the fool within tarot and all the different phases and steps that it goes through and the experiences and what we can also get out of those interpretations through tarot as well, that I hear people talk about with like the fool's journey and maybe accepting that maybe we are all the fool can maybe help us release some of that, the expectations that we have for ourselves or what others place on us. But yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Marshall, for coming on and letting me rant on things and you rant on things and going over some things that I think are pretty important for just people to like just think about.
Yeah, I agree.
Questioning things is good. And I feel like people are still afraid of that. And deconstructing where some of our personal and external fears are is just what we need to grow.
Yeah.
So, okay, everybody, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. In the episode description, I'm going to tag Marshall's social medias and how you can reach out to him. And we're on this topic, you can reach out to him or I. Neither one of us are experts on these topics, so a lot of it is opinion based as well. So, but we do hope you guys got a little something out of this. And like I say every week, I appreciate every single one of you, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a great one. Blessed be.